You may be seated.
Praise God. Tonight I want to encourage you. Apostle. No, she's not. Got it. Apostle has been talking to us under the umbrella of framing your world. And we've been talking about ownership faith. He's been talking about ownership faith. Sunday he dealt with knowing how to hear the voice of God and speaking it with the voice of Jesus. So tonight I want to encourage you, and I'm going to encourage you. Now, I'm about to make you nervous. I'm going to encourage you by respectfully taking somebody off a pedestal, that we put on a pedestal. All right? I'm going to respectfully do it. I'm going to respectfully do it because I want you to understand what your capabilities are, what you are capable of doing. And because we've been, as Apostle said, we've been reading the Bible historically, we've allowed some Bible characters to be put on a pedestal and don't realize that that Bible character was just demonstrating what you can do. So, under the apostolic model, we're starting to see these biblical characters as demonstrators of what we're capable of doing. We're not just in awe of their accomplishments. So we're not just in awe of what they did, but it should give us confidence that in today's time, we can see those same things happen in our lives. All right? Turn with me to 1 Kings, the third chapter. First Kings, the third chapter. Let's start at verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer up on that altar. Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon responded, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Verse 7, and now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, and for who is able to judge this thy so great a people. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and has not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked for riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Verse 14, I know a lot of reading, but I need to read it. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, will I lengthen thy days. Look at verse 12. God is responding, saying, behold, I have done according to thy words. I did what you asked. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now, that is an apostolic statement. Nobody came before you like you, and ain't gonna be nobody like you after you. He was talking to Solomon. That is an apostolic statement. That sounds like a pathfinder. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a pace setter. He was talking to Solomon and said, it ain't gonna be nobody like you. Ain't gonna be nobody like you. Ain't nobody like you come before. Ain't gonna be nobody like you after. So for a few moments, let's talk about this, and let's use the scriptures, because I want to take Solomon off that pedestal that we put him on. It was such a great gift that Solomon had. I knew he was gonna be quiet on me. Wasn't such a great gift that he had. It wasn't nothing spectacular that you can't have. Go with me to Ecclesiastes. Now, you do know who wrote Ecclesiastes, right? Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. Okay, Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes. All right, Solomon. Go to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, right before the Song of Solomon. Right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. Now, it's your choice what you want to do. You either take Solomon off the pedestal, or you can put yourself on the pedestal with him. It's your choice. But either way, you and Solomon are on equal ground, equal footing. In this 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, let's start at verse 11. The words of the wise are as gold, a gold is a stick with a point on the end of it, and it is used with animals to prod them, to make them, like, we had cattle at one time, and in modern age we had what we call a cattle prodder, which was a long contraption, at the end of the contraption had two forks on it, but it had batteries on one end. So sometimes a cow would get in the chute and won't get stubborn and don't want to move. Well, you take that cattle prodder, hit that button and tap him, it's an electric shock, and he'll get up to shoot. That's what that gold is, all right? He says that, watch what he says. He says, the words of the wise are as golds, or pointers, or prodders, and as nails fashioned by the masters of assemblies. In other words, the words of the wise know how to put things together, know how to weave situations together, know how to answer situations, which are given from one shepherd. So here it is. Solomon is giving us the secret to his wisdom. And watch this. He's given us the secret to his wisdom. What's the secret? He says the words of the wise. Was he a wise man? Yes. He was the wisest in all the earth at that time. See, come on, get it. You got two choices. Either you can take him off the pedestal or put yourself up there. But you're going to have to do one of them. Because the way Apostle is talking to us about hearing the voice of God and speaking the word of God with the voice of Jesus, you're going to have to realize that you can go there. This ain't something reserved for Solomon. We all are capable of this. Here he says, watch what he says. He says, the words of the wise. Anybody who speaks wise words, they're going to be a prodder. It's going to point people in the right direction. You have the ability to point yourself in the right direction. And as nails fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. They're given from God. So if his wise words came from God, that means... So that means I can also be. So there also is not going to be somebody before me or after me, because they ain't got nobody like me. Because what God has planned for me, so I got to learn to be a pace setter in my life. I got to learn to be a trailblazer in my life. Solomon is sitting here giving us the secret. Now, I'm not even finished with this. Because you're about to be shocked. You're about to be shocked. Watch what he says. He says, and further, verse 12, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end. People are going to be writing their opinion about God forever. People are going to be writing their opinion about what they think humans ought to do forever. Right? And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Look at verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This comes from somebody who God said was the wisest man walking on the earth at that time. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and do what he say. For this is the whole duty. This is the whole duty of man. Here is the wisest man telling us how he got wise. So watch this. It wasn't a special gift that Solomon had. What Solomon knew that nobody else knew how to do was to yield and hear the voice of God and be able to yield to it and accomplish it. That's it. It wasn't no special gift that Solomon had to where, notice, there were no hands laid on Solomon. There was no special ceremony for Solomon. What Solomon did. Solomon didn't do nothing no different than we can do. The Bible says he burnt 1,000 burnt offerings. You know what that translates to? That simply translates that Solomon took time to spend time with God. That's something we can do. Solomon spent so much time with God. Solomon bothered God so much to where God says, Solomon, what you want me to do for you? Solomon, watch this. Solomon loved God so much that he said, God, you put me in this position. I need your help on how to do what you're asking me to do. He ain't worried about no stuff. He ain't worried about nothing else. He simply said, God, because Solomon burnt that. Now, see, what you got to understand about burning 1,000 burnt offerings? That means 1,000 animals had to be killed.
and prepare to be burnt for sacrifice.
Listen, I'm not talking about, and then it's not only 1,000 animals, but it took time. Yeah. He had to go buy all those animals. He had to prepare all those animals. And the Bible says he did it. He didn't pay nobody to do it. He did. That means he put effort in. He put time in. He put his energy in. And he got in God's face so much, God said, "What do you want?" One of the things that's amazing to me about this story is, how many of y'all dream? I dream. How many of y'all in your dream control yourself? Probably none of y'all. None of y'all. Ain't nobody. You know, you're running from the wolf. But you can't run fast enough. But you in your dream, you're running. You can't control. This man, in a dream, sleep, in a dream, was able to give God the correct answer. Why was he able to do that? Because it was so deep on the inside of him that even in his subconscious, he was able to answer God. That's how much he had spent time with God. That's how much he loved God. That's how much for God to come say, "Hey, what do you want?" And he said, I need to know how to go out. Go out among your people. I need to understand how to judge these people." And God said, "I'm gonna give you wisdom and an understanding heart." And here it is. He's telling us how he did it. He said, the conclusion to the whole matter is, fear God and do what he say. Now watch this. Go with me to Mark. This is important for you to understand, because some people have reservations about being able to hear the voice of God. You are capable of doing this. Solomon is giving us the answer on how it happens. He said, fear God. What it means to reverence God. That's what the word fear means. For those of you who are new to the Bible, that word fear means to reverence. That means God means something to you. And it's not a surface meaning. It is, I reverence him, meaning I long to be with him. I long for his presence. I long for him to talk to me. I long to talk to him. I want to do it. I need to do it. I got to do it. Do that. And according to Solomon, you're guaranteed to hear the voice of God. Because how can you keep what you don't hear? How can you keep what you don't hear? So that means when you long going after God, you're setting yourself up to hear the voice of God. All right. What I told you, Mark. No, I'm sorry. Matthew's. Excuse me. Matthew's, the 12th chapter, verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, do you see that? And behold, let's make it. And behold, a greater than Solomon is living on the inside of you. So now, the gift or the pedestal that we had put Solomon on, I can go down, because a greater one than Solomon lives on the inside of me. What's the difference? Why is it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why is it that Jesus? Now, I love Jesus. Jesus. If you notice, he talked about himself. It's written in red. Jesus talking about himself. He said, "Listen, y'all, a greater one than Solomon has arrived." So that's why I know that statement that was made in 1 Kings by there was no going to be nobody like him before him or after him. There was going to be nobody like Solomon before or after, meaning Solomon and his assignment. I can say the same thing about you. You get an understanding heart. You get wisdom from God, and ain't going to be nobody that came before you like you or going to come after you like you. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying?
Yes,
see, you have to know that you can go there. You have to know that you can get in the face of God and God will talk to you and give you an answer. You have to know that God respects you just as much as he respects Solomon. And why is that? Because you got a one greater than Solomon. The reason why Jesus coming on earth was greater than Solomon is because Jesus did it and knew no sin. Solomon was doing this in sin. Solomon was doing this under the old covenant. So if Solomon was able to get that kind of wisdom and understanding and to hear the voice of God under the old covenant, how much more can we under the new covenant with somebody better than Solomon living on the inside of us? See, you got to know this. One thing, apostle knows this. That's why God talks to him. God, watch this. God is talking to you all the time. Whether you hear him or not is based on you. And so if you think every time you run into a situation or every time you need an answer, you got to go run to somebody else. See, here's the thing. They had to go to Solomon in the Old Testament to get that wisdom. We ain't got to run to nobody. All right, tell you about James. James chapter 1. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. This is why Solomon is not on a pedestal, because he give it to all men. Liberally and upbraided it not, and it shall be given him. God is waiting on you to ask him. Gone are the days where you got to have a mediator. See, some of the situations, this is why we don't be entertained on Sundays and Wednesdays. Because he's pushing that word down on us. You know what's supposed to happen? What's supposed to happen? 1 Corinthians 2 talks about this. When he preached the word is supposed to be not of men's wisdom, but of the demonstration of power of God. It goes down on the inside of us. And when it goes on the inside of us, it should cause disruption. See, when it causes disruption, again, it makes you uncomfortable. When it makes you uncomfortable, it makes you search. It makes you search. When you get to searching, now God say, okay, they want me to talk to them. And I'm willing to talk to them. But it has to be a disruption. See, Solomon just didn't, watch this. Solomon took 1,000 burnt offerings. He said, I'm going to get God's attention. He said, I'm going to get in God's face, and every time God turned around, going to be a sweet savor coming in his nose. Every time he turned around, another sweet. God done smell 55 of them. Here come 56. He done smelled 199 of them. Here come 200. He's spending time with God, in the face of God. Now, what did Solomon do that we can't do? You can spend time with God. You can spend, matter of fact, it's easier for you to spend time with God because you ain't got to kill nothing.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, but you do have to kill something. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You got to sacrifice your time. You got to sacrifice your time. You got to sacrifice. You got to sacrifice yourself. You got to die to yourself. See, so you ain't got to go kill no animals. You got to kill your thought process. You got to kill your laziness. You got to kill your undisciplinedness. That's what you got to kill. Because it takes discipline to do 1,000 burnt offerings. He had to make his mind up. He had to make his mind up. This is what I'm going to do. So when God spoke to Solomon, it was just that Solomon got God's attention. You know the statement, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, gets the oil? You got to be that squeaky wheel. You got to be the one, you eat, eat, and God said, eat, 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 eat. And God said, I got to answer this person. I got to see what I can do for them. They up here, they in my presence all the time. They don't waste, they don't, and then they open for me to come talk to them anytime. They just won't be in my presence. So Solomon didn't do anything that we can't do. So if we can do what Solomon can do, then we can get the same results as Solomon. All right, let me prove it to you again. Watch this. We're going to keep dealing with Jesus. I'm not even going to be long tonight because I just want to encourage you, because a lot of times those that watch on the internet, we think we can't go there. We don't put Solomon on a pedestal and the man say, here's the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and do what he asks you to do. That's all apostles trying to, that's why apostle wants to open the portal of the supernatural so you, not that you can go in and get something, that you can go in and find out what God wants to do with you. Go with me to Luke 21. Luke 21, watch this. Luke 21. I'm going to start at verse 12. In my Bible, the subtitle, it says, persecution will come. Verse 12, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That's... Do y'all, how many of y'all know to start the first incident that Solomon had to deal with? Who knows the first incident? The first incident that Solomon had to deal with was the babies. Now, the answer that Solomon gave, nobody could say anything negative about it. Because he triggered the actual mom to speak up. Where you gonna get that from? That's the kind of answers that God wants to give you about your situations. The same answer he gave to Solomon is available to you. Why? Because there's one greater than Solomon on the inside of you. He said one greater than Solomon on the inside of you. Not only on the inside of apostle, on the inside of you. You know what apostle's job is? Go to Ephesians 4. Watch this. Ephesians 4. Ephesians
Ephesians 4, I want to look at verse 14. That we henceforth, from this point forward, be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The purpose of apostle is to wake up the greater than Solomon, the one that's greater than Solomon on the inside of us, so that we won't be swayed by what's going on the outside. We won't be swayed by erroneous information. We won't be swayed by AI. We won't be swayed by any of that. We have a dimension. We have a place where we can go and get answers that nobody can come up with. We got a place where we can go, we get answers that nobody can't reveal to us but God. We have to take advantage of that. And Solomon just simply saying, if you spend time with him, if you spend time with him, what I mean by spend time with him, reading his word, meditating his word, and talking to him. If you don't know what to say, if you don't know what to do or don't know what to say, read his word back to him.
Yes, sir.
Read his word back to him and say, God, what you trying to say here? You are a pace setter. Now watch this. Stop trying to be a pace setter for the world. Be a pace setter for God. Be a trailblazer for him. The world gonna take care of itself. Stop thinking you got to do all these spectacular stuff. No, you just need to do what God's telling you to do. When you do what God is telling you to do, listen, here's what I love about God. You don't need nobody's permission to hear his voice. Listen, when you hear the voice of God and you do what God is asking you to do, the world system ain't got no choice but to come to you and do what God tells it to do for you. We must understand that that our Father is a sovereign God. He controls everything. So if I could just hear his voice and be able to do what he's asking me to do, God will move heaven, hell, and earth to make it come to pass what he's ordained to come to pass in my life. God, that you can go there. I want you to know you can go there. This ain't for somebody else. This for you. Matthew's 6th chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus gave us a masterclass in the 6th chapter of Matthew's. A masterclass. And he said something. See, hearing the voice of God is important. You got to know that God wants to use you just like he used Solomon. That same intelligence, that same ability is available to you. It's on inside of you. But you got to know that it's there, and you got to know that you can access it. Listen, when you run a situation, stop thinking you got to go to somebody else. Stop thinking you got to run to somebody else. See,
I let people pray for me, but I don't need you to pray for me. I go to God for myself. I'm telling you, I might sound bigoted, but I don't care. I go to God for myself. You know what I'm saying? I go to God for myself because I can. See, when we run a situation, I need to go call somebody. No, you don't. No, you don't. It says, James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, all James saying is, if you don't know what to do. And see, you can't ask. The Bible talks about asking amiss. Asking amiss because you're asking just to waste it on your own lust. All right, watch this. Hearing God is important because hearing God is the key to manifestations in your personal life. Hearing God and being able to do what he asks you to do is key to manifestation in your life. It can't happen no other way. It cannot happen any other way. It can't happen any other way. You got to be able to hear God, do what God asks you to do, and manifestation shows up. That's what it means to work out your own salvation. That's what it means. It means you got to be able to hear God, do what he asks you to do, and manifestation show up. Hold your finger there, Matthews. Watch this. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For you have need of patience that, after you've done, I can't do what I don't know. I can't do it if I don't know it. So hearing the voice of God is imperative in your Christian walk. Jesus said in Mark the 4th chapter, around the 9th verse, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said at the end of that parable, if you don't catch this parable, then the rest of them are going to be trouble for you. Then Jesus said in that 4th chapter, it's given to you. That means it's already been set up for you to know. To know mysteries. For you to know what nobody else knows. It's given to you to know about your life what nobody else can't tell you. See, once again, I ain't got no prophet in my life that I run to. Mm-mm. I ain't got no prophet I run to. That's the Old Testament. Jesus lived on the inside of me. Let's tell you what the purpose of a prophet is. The purpose of a prophet is to point you back to God's agenda. That's all a prophet do, is point you back to God's original plan, his agenda. A prophet ain't supposed to reveal nothing new to you. God didn't set it up that way for him to tell you something, for another man to tell you something you didn't know. Right. Now, you might have ignored him, and it might seem, you might be surprised like that, but God had already tried to talk to you already, but you wasn't hearing him, so he had to get somebody to come point you right in the right direction. So God ain't giving nobody no control over your life. Why? Because one greater than Solomon lives on the inside of you. What? Now, catch on to what they're saying. Jesus saying, if Solomon did that in the Old Testament, if Solomon had all that wisdom in the Old Testament, and watch this, it wasn't book knowledge.
It wasn't because Solomon was so smart. Solomon told y'all from the beginning. He said, God, I don't know how to come in or go out. And from that position, he became the wisest man walking on the earth at that time. Because it wasn't book knowledge. It was him being able to go to God and get in God's presence and God talking to him. And he able to walk out what God is telling him. He able to say what God is telling him to say. He's able to do what God is telling him to do. Is this making sense?
Yes,
see, it ain't about formulas. It ain't about scripture A, B, C, and D. Scripture A, B, C, and D should get you to the presence of God.
Yes,
when you get in the presence of God, that's when things start happening. See, people who don't spend time with God always going to have trouble hearing the voice of God. They ain't going to never know what God's voice sounds like. They ain't gonna never know what God's voice looks like. Because when you spend time with God, you're getting familiar with him. You're getting acquainted with him. When you get acquainted with him, it's easier to recognize his voice. It's easier to see his voice. It's easier to hear his voice. It's easier to know when God is moving. Because you've been in his presence. And a lot of us, because we don't spend time in his presence, we put everybody else who has on a pedestal. Oh, they spiritual. No, they just spending time with God. They just spending more time with God than you. That's all it is. They're just spending more time with God than you. That's it. If you decide to spend more time with God, you can be hearing God just like they can hear God. See, when apostle is pushing us, he's pushing us into the supernatural. He's pushing us into the supernatural to the point where when you in your respective, when you're in your circle of influence, God can use you in your circle of influence just like God uses him here. Just like God used apostle from here, he wants to use you like that in your circle of influence. There are people that you come across that need to experience the power of God. But if you can't hear him, you can't do what he asks you to do. And that person walks right on by and never experienced the power of God that was supposed to come through you. Fivefold for the perfecting of the saints to do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ can be built, so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that people around you can be delivered. Because I can hear the voice of God. Solomon didn't even ask for the voice of God for his own problems. He said, God, give me wisdom so I know how to judge your people. God, give me wisdom, give me understanding so I can minister to your people. So in my circle of influence, somebody dealing with a family problem, God can give you the answer for that person. But you got to know he can use you. You got to know that you can hear the voice of God. You got to know that God wants to use you just like he used Solomon. Matthew, the sixth chapter. I'm closing here. Watch this. Matthew, sixth chapter. Hearing the voice of God is very important. Watch this. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Look at verse 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 20 is what I want to get to. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? Jesus, watch this. Jesus is trying to get us to put our focus in another realm. What Jesus, see, hearing the voice of God, we have to expand our horizon in hearing the voice of God and not just think God wants to talk to us about our situation. Do you know God can get you to do something for him that's unrelated to your situation? And if you obey him over here, while you obeying him over here, he over here working it out for you. See, but the enemy has got us focused on us and our stuff and our issues. You see this? So Jesus said, I'm trying to get you to put your mind, your soul in another realm. What it means, lay not up for yourself treasures in heaven. That means your bank account is not in heaven. That's not what he's saying. Your bank account is here on earth, but don't you have control over it? So the money and all that don't move in and out of the account till you say so, right? Right? So you put your soul on him. Put your soul on what he wants you to do. That's what it means to lay up yourself treasures in heaven. Because if you lay yourself up treasures in heaven, that means your soul was already there. Because wherever your treasure is this making sense? So what it means, God is trying to get you on another level of thinking, another level of hearing, and not worry about these mundane things. Watch, your material stuff is important, just not to you. I'm going to say it again. Your material stuff is important, just not to you. So God's will, God's agenda, God's plan is what should be important to you. And so if God's will, his agenda, and his plan is important to me, then who you think your stuff is important to? Listen, he said it. He said it in verse 32. Go to verse 32. This how I know is important because of the language that is used. He said, for after all these things, wait a minute, first of all, who is talking? Jesus, yeah, God, Jesus, yeah. They the same God, Jesus, they talking. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Jesus said, for your heavenly Father. That ain't the only word in it. Ain't the only word in there. That you have. That sounds like importance. For your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. But Jesus said, I want you to put your mind on what I'm asking you to do. I want you to hear my voice for what I'm asking you to do. Let your stuff be important to me. Now, I don't know about you. You know, my siblings, during Christmas, they about to laugh. During Christmas, we trade gifts and we make sure everybody got gifts. But I'm not too concerned about their gifts to me. I enjoy them, but I want to know what my mom and daddy bought me. I want to know what they bought me. You understand what I'm saying? Think about this now. I want to be focused on what God wants and let God focus. I'd rather God focus on my needs than me focused on my needs. Because according to God, I'm limited in my thinking about my needs. God is unlimited in thinking. He said, God hooked up knowing what we need based on what the Gentiles seek. Did you catch that? What God said he knows I need is correlated to what the Gentiles are seeking after. So whatever the Gentiles are seeking after, God knows that I have need of all those things. But I got to put my treasure in heaven, my soul in heaven. I got to come up to a high level of thinking, which means I'm focused on what God wants. Now, remember I said earlier, whenever you hear the voice of God and do what he's asking you to do, it is impossible for the sovereign God not to bring to pass what he had planned for you. It's impossible. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? When you please God, he becomes a what? A rewarder. Wait a minute. He becomes a rewarder of those that seek the stuff. Those that are listening for his voice. And are eager to do what he's asking them to do. That's who are rewarded. That's who are the ones that's being rewarded. See, God made it so simple for us. So simple for us. In other words, he's taking the work out of it. I don't have to do what the world system do. I may be among the world system. I may even have some of this. I may be working in the same place as somebody who's not born again. But our lives are not going to be the same because I have access to a hidden world that they don't have access to. So our lives are not going to be the same. But I got to know I can go there. I have to know that I can go to that unseen place. I don't need nobody. Watch this. Apostle, you just got to show me one or two times how to get there. That's how I think. He got to show me but one or two times how to get there. Because I'm going to go for myself. Because once the portals of the supernatural open, I know how to get to it. I don't have to be an apostle, but I'm apostolic. When I'm apostolic, God knows that when I'm coming to open the portals. Are y'all getting this? See, it's not so much about, it's not even about how much time, you, it's not about how long you've been with God either. Oh, no, you get born again today and start hearing God's voice tomorrow. It's not about how long you've been with God. It's about how much time you spend with God. When you spend the time with God, his voice becomes clearer to you. When his voice becomes clearer to you, then you know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And you're not even concerned about the outcome. Why are you not concerned about the outcome? Because you know you heard the voice of God. You know you did what he asked you to do. So God got to show up now. Jesus said, Father, I know you heard me. Jesus would never worry about the outcome. Jesus was never concerned about the outcome. Because why? Because he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Jesus would spend time with the Father, spend time with God, hear the voice of God, and do what God is asking him to do. That's why things move so swiftly around Jesus. That can happen to us. I can tell you, that is happening to an apostle. I've seen some things happen to an apostle. He speak it, he speaks something and it show up. He need a solution for this and he gets the answer. It's happened in my life. I need to deal with something and I in my patience. That's key. I don't panic. I don't get beside myself. I already know the greater one. And he's greater than everything else on the outside. So if the greater one who's living on the inside of me, who's greater than Solomon, is living on the inside of me, is greater than everything else on the outside, then I shouldn't let anything on the outside fluster me. So if I get flustered on the outside, that means I ain't paying attention to one on the inside. Because that's the only way you get flustered. If you pay attention to more on the outside than what's on the inside, then you're going to be flustered. But when you pay attention to more on the inside than what's on the outside, it don't matter what comes, what show up. Don't matter. Because I know I'm going to get a solution for it. I know I'm going to get an answer for it. I know God's going to give me a direction. God's going to give me wisdom to handle this. God's going to give me insight. God's going to give me something. Because I'm on the inside. Because I'm focused on his voice. I'm not worried about anything else. I'm concerned only about his voice. If I hear his voice, if I can hear his voice, I can get an answer. And guess what? I can. If you've never heard the voice of God, if you say, I don't know what the voice of God sound like, ask God. God, teach me your voice. You know what he's going to do? He's going to bury you in his word. Because of Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, why should your mind be renewed? So that you can prove, that you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So watch this. Romans 12 and 2 is telling you got to go on the inside. You got to go on the inside. You got to go. You can't stay on the outside dealing with this stuff. You got to go on the inside. When you go on the inside, that means that's what God's voice is on the inside of you. The greater than Solomon is on the inside of you. The greater one is on the inside of you. Don't stay on the outside. Go to the inside. Spend time on the inside. What you mean spend time on the inside? Sometimes get quiet by yourself with just you and God. That's what it means to be on the inside. Where you give God a chance to talk to you. Because again, I close it again. Ecclesiastes 12. And I think it's verse, I think 14. He say the whole conclusion of the matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God and do what he say. That's it. Fear God, do what he say. Rinse and repeat. Fear God, do what he say. So essentially, Solomon said, fear God, hear his voice, and do what he say. Fear God, hear his voice, do what he say. It's just that simple. And it don't get no more complicated than that. Fear God, spend time with him, hear his voice, do what he say. That's it. That's why apostle keep pushing in the spirit world. Some of us keep trying to figure things out. Trying to calculate this, trying to figure this out, trying to outsmart this person, trying to outthink this person. Listen, you can't outthink all these people. They got some intelligent people, correctly intelligent people, and incorrectly intelligent people. You can't outsmart all these people. I'm trying to outsmart all these people. I ain't trying to figure all these people out. I got to discern the spirit. Is there the spirit on this side of me? I can tell when somebody lying to me. I just had an incident. Man called me, wanted to talk to me, and was telling me a story. And right here, when he started talking, right here, he said, he lying. He lying right here. It was right here. He lying. He lying. So I let him, I ain't even tell him I heard it. I let him finish his story. And I say, you know, I'll just pray with you. Because if you don't start off with the truth, if we don't start with the truth, I can't help you. So because you can't use God like you want to use him. So here it is. They need help from me telling me a story and lying to me thinking they're going to fool me. I know how to hear the voice of God. So right here, God's telling me, he lying. He was talking, and all I heard was, he lying, he lying, he lying, he lying. It was like an alarm. He lying, he lying, he lying. So I already know how to handle that situation. Because I know I can hear God. See, you have to know that you can hear God. And you got to trust the fact that you can hear God. And the way you increase your trust in yourself that you can hear the voice of God is you got to go spend time with Him. Lift your hand if you need a tithes and offering envelope.